How Santa Claus Came to Simpson's Bar by Bret Hart. It had been raining in the valley of the Sacramento. The North Fork had overflowed its banks and Rattlesnake Creek was impassable. The few boulders that had marked the summer ford at Simpson's Crossing were obliterated by a vast sheet of water stretching to the foothills. The upstage was stopped at Granger's. The last mail had been abandoned in the tules, the rider swimming for his life. An area, remarked the Sierra Avalanche with pensive local pride, as large as the state of Massachusetts is now under water. Nor was the weather any better in the foothills. The mud lay deep on the mountain road. Wagons that neither physical force nor moral objurgation could move from the evil ways into which they had fallen encumbered the track, and the way to Simpson Bar was indicated by broken-down teams and hard swearing. And farther on, cut off and inaccessible, rained upon and bedraggled, smitten by high winds and threatened by high water, the mining settlement of Simpson's Bar on the eve of Christmas Day, 1862, clung like a swallow's nest to the rocky entablature and splintered capitals of Table Mountain, and shook in the blast. As night shut down on the settlement, a few lights gleamed through the mist from the windows of cabins on either side of the highway, now crossed and gullied by lawless streams and swept by marauding winds. Happily, most of the population were gathered at Thompson's store, clustered around a red-hot stove, at which they silently spat in some accepted sense of social communion that perhaps rendered conversation unnecessary. Indeed, most methods of diversion had long since been exhausted on Simpson's Bar. High water had suspended the regular occupations on Gulch and on River, and the consequent lack of money and whiskey had taken the zest from most illegitimate recreation. Howbeit, the inhabitants sat that evening in the listless apathy begotten of idleness and lack of excitement. Even the sudden splashing of hooves before the door did not arouse them. No one of the group indicated any interest in or recognition of the man who entered. It was a figure known in Simpson's Bar as the Old Man. A man of perhaps 50 years, grizzled and scant of hair, but still fresh and youthful of complexion. He threw himself into a vacant chair. "Just heard the best thing out, boys. You know Smiley over yar? Jim Smiley, funniest man in the bar? Well, Jim was just telling the richest yarn about—" "Smiley's a fool," interrupted a gloomy voice. "A particular skunk," added another in sepulchral accents. A silence followed these positive statements. The old man glanced quickly around the group. Then his face slowly changed. "That's so. Certainly a sort of skunk and something of a fool. In course, dismal weather, ain't it? Mighty rough papers on the boys, and no show for money this season. And tomorrow's Christmas." There was a movement among the men at this announcement. "Yes, yes, Christmas, and tonight's Christmas Eve. You see, boys, I kind of thought, that is, I sort of had an idea, just passing like, you know, that maybe you'd all like to come over to my house tonight and have a sort of tear around. But I suppose now, you wouldn't? Don't feel like it, maybe?" he added, peering into the faces of his companions. "Well, I don't know," responded Tom Flynn with some cheerfulness. "Perhaps we may, but how about your wife, old man? What does she say to it?" The old man hesitated. His conjugal experience had not been a happy one, and the fact was known in Simpson's Bar. His first wife, a delicate, pretty little woman, had suffered keenly from the jealous suspicions of her husband, until one day he invited the whole bar to his house to expose her infidelity. On arriving, the party found the shy, petite creature quietly engaged in her household duties and retired abashed and discomfited. But the sensitive woman did not easily recover from the shock of this extraordinary outrage. It was with difficulty she regained her equanimity sufficiently to release her lover from the closet in which he was concealed and escape with him. She left a boy of 3 years to comfort her bereaved husband. The old man's present wife had been his cook. She was large, loyal, and aggressive.
"There's no trouble about that," said the old man. "It's my own house, build every stick on it myself. Don't you be afeard of her, boys. She may cut up a trifle rough, as women do, but she'll come around."
Dick Bullen, the oracle and leader of Simpson's Bar, now took his pipe from his lips.
"Old man, how's that your Johnny getting on? Seems to me he didn't look so pert last time I seed him. Maybe now we'd be in the way if he was sick."
The father hastened to assure him that Johnny was better, and a little fun might liven him up. Whereupon Dick arose, saying,
"I'm ready. Lead the way, old man. Here goes."
And he darted out into the night. As he passed through the outer room, he caught up a blazing brand from the hearth. The action was repeated by the rest of the party, closely following and elbowing each other, and before the astonished proprietor of Thompson's Grocery was aware of the intentions of his guests, the room was deserted.